Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome those who are here for the first time. I won't get a chance to say this after the service because we're ending our service a little bit differently, but if you're here for the first time, please get a chance to know our church better. We have a Connections Cafe outside which you can visit, and we'd love to get to know you better and give you more information regarding our church. Have you ever been at a loss for words before? A loss of words. You're trying to describe something to someone, but you just don't have the words to convey it adequately. You don't have the words to convey it fully as you like. I mean, how do you describe the grandeur of the Grand Canyon? The day after you traversed up and down its cavernous depths, while still marveling over God's immense and spectacular creation. There are no words. How do you convey the magnificence of having lunch, sitting next to a massive glacier atop Mount Baker, admiring its textured pinnacles of ice on a late summer's day? There are no words. How do you speak of the wonder of an early morning stroll along the vast sand-laden beaches of Tofino, you know, as the sunlight is shimmering over the waters? There are no words. How do you tell of the joy, the gratitude in your hearts when after months and months of growing these tomatoes for the very first time last year, you see its fruit? You see it turn from green to yellow to red. There are no words. How do you articulate the moment when the waiter serves you that their signature dish, a 16-ounce bone-in rib steak, cooked to perfection, done Pittsburgh style, charred on the outside and medium rare on the inside? There are no words. How do you express the sheer joy of a middle-aged accountant, a CMO, who's thoroughly enjoying the beauty, the breathtaking scenery while hiking up the peak of Whistler Mountain? There are no words. How do you share of the awe that's experienced in the depth of your soul as you witness a herd of zebras grazing on an African plain, on an African safari at sunset? There are no words. Actually, I need to fess up here. I've never done this before. But I hope to do this one day, maybe even this coming year. In a similar way, because words cannot fully express the splendor and the majesty of God, the psalmist uses images. He uses symbols and metaphors to declare the Lord's glory. 2 weeks ago, I started a sermon series entitled Images of God in the Psalms. And we saw that the image of the rock speaks of the Lord is my rock and my salvation. That is, he's our strength. He's our solid foundation. He's our security. And he's our safe place. Our safe place in the midst of dangerous and difficult circumstances in life. The image of the candle speaks of the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord shines his light on us. The Lord shines his light for us, and the Lord shines his light through us as we witness for him. And then today, we'll look at the image of the oil. How does oil represent the presence of God? How does it? Now, although oil is a very common thing in our society these days, it was considered to be a necessity of life in biblical times. Now, back then, oil was used for many purposes. It was used amongst many to prepare food, as many foods were cooked in oil. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 8, it tells us that the taste of manna, the manna that came from heaven, is compared to that of cakes baked in oil. It's used for sacrifice. Oil was used as the continual sacrifice, the burnt offerings to the Lord in the temple. Oil was used in lamps. It was the main fuel for the lamps. And that's why the wise person, according to Jesus in Matthew 25, would carry an adequate supply of this wherever they went. it was used as well to anoint. It was the custom to anoint a king, to anoint a priest, to anoint a prophet, to consecrate them for the Lord's service. Isaiah 61, in speaking of the Lord Jesus himself, the Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Even the shield of a warrior was anointed as a symbol of a dedication to the Lord. And as well, it was used medicinally. It was used to heal. It had the effect of softening the wound. It has been regarded as a symbol of God's presence and protection as well. And so today, I just want to look at two of these aspects of what oil represents and how it applies to the image of God and who he is. First, the Lord is my anointer. The Lord is my anointer. That is, God anoints me for service. He anoints me for ministry. I'm dedicated to the Lord for his service. He equips and he qualifies me for service. Now you may say, so Pastor Abe, I thought I just had to be willing to serve. I just had to volunteer. I just had to be available. I thought I just need to use my gifts to serve God. Oh yes, that is true. We need to be willing. We need to be available. We need to use our gifts to serve God. But let's take a closer look at what the psalmist David is trying to say to us here in Psalm 133. I'll just quickly read it again. He says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Now some say that David may have written this psalm when the 12 tribes of Israel all came together to make him king. They were united in spirit. They were united in love. And they were united in oneness. You see, our service for the Lord must be of this same love, must be of the same oneness that's spoken of here. Our service to the Lord is sacred. It is sacred. Our service to the Lord is sacred. It's sacred to have unity in the church. This oil that was poured during Aaron's anointing, during Aaron's consecration to the priestly office, and it's an image of the excellence of brotherly love, the blessing that comes with brotherly unity, living together in peace. Having the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. It brings blessings to everyone. It literally brings blessings to everyone, like drops of dew bringing to a sun-scorched land. And it moistens. It moistens. It softens. It moistens the heart so that we can receive. When we're anointed by the Lord, it softens the heart, it moistens the heart so we can receive from him, so we can receive the word of God from him. See, God uses those who are consecrated to him, who loves their brothers and sisters in Christ, who values unity, who values peace, who values harmony in the church. Now, just a couple weeks ago, our community day, it's an excellent example of this. Brothers and sisters from all congregations, from all languages, from all ages, working together to serve the Lord, for there the Lord bestows his blessing. Now here David is saying, in essence, that Aaron was allowed to minister for the Lord after he had been anointed with this oil. After he had been anointed with this oil. That is, our service to God is acceptable only when we have this holy love, when we have this holy oil running down from head to foot. We must be drenched. We must be drenched with this oil, with this love from God. From the leaders of the church, this love and unity must flow down. It must start with the elders. It must start with the pastors. It must start with the lay leaders of this church, Fraserlands, so that we can be an example to others in our church. If we don't have this holy love, we don't have this holy unity, we don't have this oneness, this anointing, we're nothing, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and I give my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts and always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. Yeah, sure, I preached this passage in weddings before, but the context of this passage is for service in the body of Christ. Is for each and every one of us as we belong, as we serve in the body of Christ. That's the context of this passage. You see, it doesn't matter how talented we are, how gifted we are. Without love, without unity, without oneness, our service counts for nothing. This love moistens the heart. It moistens our heart as oil moistens and softens the wounds, bringing about the Lord's anointing, bringing about the Lord's presence, bringing about the Lord's protection amongst us as a church, as the body of Christ. David says, the Lord is my anointer. He anoints me for service. He anoints me for ministry. He anoints me with the Holy Spirit. He anoints me with harmony, with unity, with love. The Lord anoints us with the oil of God, with the oil of holiness, with the oil of joy. In what ways have you been prepared for ministry? In what ways has God anointed you to do His holy work? After the Lord had identified David as His chosen one, the Bible says, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Aaron and David were anointed for ministry with the oil of God, with the love and the unity that comes from God. dear brothers and sisters in Christ? I truly believe, I believe from the very depth of my being, that God's anointing would fall upon our church in greater measure, in greater measure, if we have greater unity, greater love, greater oneness amongst us. Not just in our congregation, not just in our small groups, but in everyone amongst our church. Do you have a calloused heart this morning? Do you have a hardness of spirit? Do you have an angry spirit? Do you have an unforgiving spirit? Have you been hurt? Have you been greatly disappointed by others? Have you been greatly disappointed in your home, with your marriage, with your spouse, in your relationships, in your workplace, among friends? Have you been hurt and greatly disappointed, even in the church? Have you lost your first love for God? And everything you're doing right now is on autopilot. Everything is just routine. There's no joy in your service. There's no love towards people. There's no anointing from the Lord. As I was being called to pastoral ministry many years ago, I felt the anointing of the Lord by those who had prayed for me that day. This is how it happened. I was at a conference in a local church here in Vancouver. I was part of the prayer ministry teams that were praying for people at the front. After we had prayed for those who had come forward for prayer, the prayer leader asked us to turn to one another and pray for one another. So we turned to each other and prayed. At that time, without even asking or telling what was on our hearts, we prayed for one another. And this one guy, I don't know who he is. He must be a pastor or something. Like, he whips out a bottle of oil from his pocket, right? He whips it out from his jacket pocket, and he starts to anoint me with oil, and he starts to pray for me. And as he prays for me, I was expecting the power of God to come upon me. I was expecting the power and the strength of God to empower me. What I felt was not power when I was anointed. What I felt instead was the love of God. What I felt was not power, but love. I was not given the power of God, but the love of God pouring into my life, drenching me, literally drenching me with his love. Now, I could easily have taken this verse from Psalm 133. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. I felt the love of God pouring over me, drenching me with the oil, the holiness, the love of God, showing me God's love. First for myself, how much God really loves me. And then showing me God's love for people. Showing me God's love for the lost, those who do not yet know Christ. Showing me God's love for the poor. Showing me God's love for the rich. Showing me God's love for people of different cultures, of different nations, of different backgrounds. The love of God was poured into me that day. And I was anointed by the oil of God, the oil of joy, the oil of the Holy Spirit's presence. And so first, according to Scripture, according to the Psalms, oil represents that the Lord is my anointer. He anoints me. Second, the Lord is my healer. The Lord is my healer. Now, you may have heard the various names of God before, right? You may have heard this term before, Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean, Jehovah Jireh? Okay, the God who provides, right? The Lord who provides. Jehovah Jireh, I don't know if Noah's here or not, but Noah Mendoza, he started worshiping with us by singing that song. I can't remember how it goes, but Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the Lord is sufficient for me. It's found in Genesis 22. The passage is taken in such that where Abraham is tested by the Lord. And the Lord asked him to sacrifice his son. And just as he was about to sacrifice his son in offering to God, because God was testing his heart, the Lord provided a ram in the thicket. A ram that was caught in the bushes. And the Lord provided for Abraham that day. Well, another name of God, which we may not be aware of, is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord who heals. The Lord who heals. You see, healing is not just something that God does. It's not something that just God does, but is who he is. Who he is. Healing is part of who God is in his very nature. His very nature. For God said in Exodus chapter 15, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The Lord who heals. David said in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Dear brothers and sisters, how many of you know of people who struggle with an illness in their life, with a sickness, with a disability, with a health issue of some sort, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be mental, or whether it be spiritual? Now, in life, we can go through many challenges, can't we? We really do. And in the midst of these challenges, in the midst of these real issues of life, do we ever struggle with understanding that the Lord is our healer, that God is our healer? Do we know God in this way? In the Old Testament, the psalmist says this. He says, Lord my God, I called out to you for help, and you healed me. And then in Psalm 147, he says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And in Psalm 41, the Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. I said, have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. In the New Testament, Jesus repeatedly healed people who came to him. All who touched him were healed, the Bible said. In the Gospels, there are many instances of when Jesus healed people. In Matthew chapter 9, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Now, God cares deeply. He cares deeply for our physical well-being. And there are many examples in Scripture that shows that Jesus' desire and willingness to heal people. He healed the lame. He healed the paralyzed, the blind, the deaf, the demon-possessed, those who had chronic illnesses. Nowhere Nowhere do we find Jesus turning people away when they came to him for healing. And no illness was too difficult for Jesus to heal. People came repentant before the Lord. People came humble before the Lord. Jesus says to his disciples in Mark chapter 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. You will place your hands on sick people, and they will get well." Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." See, the ability to heal was passed on to Jesus' followers. It was passed on to Jesus' followers. As Peter healed the paralytic, saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the man got up and walked. Throughout the book of Acts, the disciples continued to preach and to teach and to heal and to cast out demons in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's no indication in the New Testament that Jesus' healing ministry would stop, because the church, the body of Christ, will continue to heal in Jesus' name. It says in James chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." In just a few minutes, we will be doing this. We'll be inviting you to come forward to be prayed for. To be anointed with oil. Whether you want to be anointed for oil for ministry, if you feel your heart is cold, it's hard, it's callous, you do not have the anointing of the Lord upon you when you serve, come forward to receive the Lord's anointing upon you. If there's an ailment that you have, a sickness, a pain, a cancer that you have, we'll also want to anoint you with oil so that the Lord could be your healer. He could be your healer. He could heal you in Jesus' name. So in just a moment, we'll be inviting you to come forward to receive those types of prayer. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So how this would work is that we're going to ask in just a moment for the prayer ministry team members to come forward, to take their place. You'll recognize them because they have their prayer ministry name tags on. There'll be a few sets of people here, a few sets of people on that side. There'll be a couple people at the back as well. And if you recognize their name tags, you want to ask for healing, you want to ask for anointing by the Lord, please go to them at that time. If you desire, if you feel led by God to come forward to either pray for someone else, to pray for yourself privately, that's fine too. The center space here is reserved for that purpose. If you feel there's something you need to get right with God, maybe something that has gone wrong in your life or a sin in your life that you want to present to the Lord, please as well, just come forward. Ask for the Lord's forgiveness for that thing that comes to mind. And if you like, proceed to one of the prayer ministry people so they can pray for you. The Lord God loves you. The Lord God knows you. Lord God sees what's in your heart. He sees the desires of your heart. Not only is the Lord God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, He is the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. There's clear indication in the Bible, clear instruction for Christians to ask for healing, to ask for prayers for healing from the leaders of the church in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's important to ask. For without asking, we will not receive, the Bible says. There's nothing magic in this oil. It's actually Costco oil with a bit of scent put into it. So there's nothing magical in this oil. The anointing with oil serves as a symbol of the Holy Spirit's presence. It serves as a symbol of the Holy Spirit's presence amongst you as we pray. And some may anoint you with oil, and they may want to ask you, can I anoint you with oil? And if you do feel that you want to be so, you can say yes, and they'll anoint you. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our lives and in our midst. And we must have faith. We must have faith in the Lord Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, as we pray for, as we receive healing. And the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. Not the pastors who are praying for you, not the elders and their spouses and their wives, not the one praying, but the Lord himself will raise you up as you come to him and ask. So let's be filled with faith. Let's be full of expectancy in the one who's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. When we approach the Lord in prayer for his divine touch, for his divine anointing, for his divine healing, for nothing is impossible with God, the Bible says. Dear brothers and sisters, I didn't just give you these images of God, these symbols, these metaphors in the Psalms so that you can bring it home, collect dust in your home, on your table, on your shelf. No. I gave them to you so that you can carry them around with you every day. And that's why we gave you these pouches, right? But if you're like me, right? If you're like me and you hate having things in your pocket, you hate having like your phone, which is like super huge these days, right? You hate having your wallet, especially in the summertime. There's no pockets to put anything. You hate having your reading glasses, your sunglasses, your keys. Yeah, your keys. And now you're asking me to put your pouch in my pocket? If you hate having these in your pockets, just get yourself immersed. Get yourself a man bag. I know ladies have purses, okay, but I never thought I'd be wearing this. Never in a million years. Get yourself immersed. So you can carry all your stuff in. And as you carry these things around, be reminded daily that the Lord is your rock and your refuge. Be reminded daily that the Lord is your light and your salvation. Be reminded daily that the Lord is your anointer and your healer. Not only is he your anointer and your healer, but you can use this vial of oil to anoint and heal others in the name of Christ. We're all priests, according to Scripture. We're a priesthood of believers. And we have the ability in Jesus' name to anoint and to heal people. So carry these things around with you every day. It is the oil of anointing. It is the oil of healing. The Lord is our anointer. The Lord Himself is our anointer. The Lord Himself is our healer. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord who heals you. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins, and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Those who are on the prayer ministry, could you please come forward and take your place? We'll continue our worship service with prayer ministry time. So for the next 10, 12, maybe even 15 minutes, our service is not over yet. We'll have a time of prayer ministry. We'll have a time of worship. Like I said before, the center of this sanctuary here is open for you to come. Even by yourself, to come, to kneel, to stand, to prostrate, to pray to the Lord, to submit a private prayer request to the Lord, to pray for others who are in need of healing. This area is a safe place for you to do so. If afterwards or even before then you desire to go to one of our prayer ministry teams at the front and then also the back, we invite you to do so as well. Do not be shy about this. When we stand in just a moment and sing and worship, if you need to exit your seat, just say, excuse me, to the person next to you, and just come on down to the front, go to the back. We would love to pray for you. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, receive the Lord's anointing upon you for ministry. Receive the Lord's anointing upon you for holy service in Him. Consecrate yourself to the Lord by His anointing. Also come forward for prayer for healing, if that is your desire, for yourself, for a family member, for someone who's dear to you. Pray on their behalf. You can do so and ask for healing as well. Let's stand together, shall we? And so for the next 12, 15 minutes, we'll be in an attitude of worship, attitude of listening to the Lord, attitude of prayer. And so I invite you to continue to stay until the end, and then I'll close off in benediction after that. Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you recognizing that even in Scripture, even in times of the Old Testament, when you were not yet born, the reference to you of being the Lord of glory, the King of glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords was established in the Old Testament in Scripture. Your glory reigned even from creation. And we recognize that here today, Our desire is for your glory to reign, even in this place. For your glory to come amongst your people. For we desperately ask and seek your glory, Lord Jesus, not for ourselves, but so that the light of God may shine on us, so that the light of God will shine for us, and so that the light of God will shine through us into our neighborhoods where we live, into our homes, into our workplaces, into our cultures, into our country. Father, we pray, even corporately now, for the healing of the nations in our world. There is so much strife, so much hurt, so much pain, Lord God. I cannot imagine how it saddens your heart to see all that happening in our world. But Father, we pray. We ask humbly from you that you would bring healing to the nations of our world. Lord God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, come upon your people. We trust in your faithfulness. We trust in your love. We trust in your compassion. We trust in your mercy. So even as we come before you, standing up, even as we come before you, as we walk to the front, as we walk to the sides and the back for prayer, Lord God, do a work in us because we desperately need your touch, O Lord Jesus. We need the oil of God, the anointing of God, the fragrance of God, the unity of the Spirit, the oneness of Christ to be in our midst, to be in our families, to be in our church, O Lord Jesus. So give us faith as we approach you. May you be glorified with what will take place in the next little while. We worship you now. We bow before you. We sing before you. We recognize that you are Lord God, and there's no one else. Come forward as the Lord leads you to come.